everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Sword Design Podcast, a show dedicated to RPGs, JRPGs, and MMORPGs. I'm your host, Ryan. I have Trung in the co-host chair. In tonight's episode, we're going to be discussing some games we've beaten recently and some games we've just started. But before we do that, Trung, what's up, man? Welcome back to the digital studio.
It's great being back here, as usual.
Yeah, it sounds like every time I ask you that, like I'm forcing you.
Because you are. I don't like talking. Why am I even here?
All right. You know, it's good to get that off your chest while we're recording.
Yeah.
So everyone knows. That's great. Anything new with you?
We just got rid of our old washer and dryer, getting a new one.
Jesus, that's like, you know, when you get older, that's the stuff you're excited about, is like new appliances.
Yeah, for real.
It's you get excited for like that one JRPG that will take you 5 years to beat, and then new appliances.
Or just sit in your backlog and never get played.
Yeah. And then you're too ashamed to like archive it or like unlist it from Steam. So it's just there staring at you and you're like, man, felt like just yesterday I ignored that game, but it's been 7 years. But yeah, for me, I'm still raising a puppy and he's a legit demon. Like straight from my nightmares. He is getting a little bit better, but you can't really know. Like as soon as you praise him, he destroys everything. So it's like, oh, okay, back to square one, but it's going. That's like the main thing for me is that fucking puppy. But yeah, I'll post some pictures for everyone can see him. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to Sword and Slime news. That's better. Just to remind everyone, we have a new website through Podpage. And it's a hosting platform that pretty much creates like a website based off your podcast data. It just auto-populates from your RSS feed. Pretty sweet. Check it out. That's like our main hub where you'll get all the information about us. You'll see cool pictures of us and you'll see our blog posts. And leave reviews there, which we need every review possible because they're fun to read. Also, you can listen to our episodes there directly. And that's really cool. And discover other episodes if you've been bouncing around. Yeah, another thing. I have shipping material for stickers. Actually, Kimchurz originally got me this cool, like the bubble wrap. Like the bubble mailers, I guess they're called.
Yeah.
But we found out we can literally save money and just use stamps because the stickers are small enough to fit in envelopes. So you can mail letters for free just with a stamp. So we're going to do that. We're going to skirt around having to pay for like a shipping label, and we're going to put stickers in, letter envelopes and ship them out. And then also, for fans internationally, because we have some who donated to the show, because right now all who's donated to the show or has given us deep support by helping us run the show, they're getting stickers. And we have some international fans, and I found out you can just buy an international stamp. So I got like a book of international stamps, and you can put the sticker in the envelope and hope for the best because you can't track it. And but supposedly it's been a method for a lot of people on like Etsy and stuff. Cause that's where I've been finding this information. Cause I was like, do I have to get a shipping label for everything and like spend $40 on international shipping for a sticker? But, no. So all that's being prepped and all that's being prepared. So the fans, you know who you are, I'll be DMing you for your address or a mailing address, whatever you want to give me, PO box, whatever. And stickers will be sent out. So that's pretty cool. Gaming news. Amazon's New World is open for pre-order. Don't do it. Guest of the show, Ogle, or Tyler, he tested the game multiple times, and he saw the writing on the wall. And if you go on YouTube, and if you watch first impressions, like there's half the people are like, oh my god, it's so exciting. The other half are like, it's fetch quests. And the game's over. So very interesting to see how New World's going to be treated when it's open for everyone. Trung, are you interested at all, or what? Like, what's your
take? Not really. I'm waiting for Final Fantasy at this point.
Okay.
I mean, that's all I really got. I've never taken any interest in it. I don't know anything about it. Sure. All I know is just, you know, published by Amazon. That's all I know.
Yeah, we're uninvolved at all. So, and then also from Ubisoft, they announced X Defiant, a free-to-play multiplayer shooter with Tom Clancy or Clancy characters. Looks lame as fuck, but that's just me watching the trailer. And then they also announced that Rainbow Six Extraction is going to be delayed until 2022. I wonder why. So, not a very happy reception on that reveal.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you even tore them apart like a couple episodes ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was our E3 episode, everyone, if you're wondering. But yeah, pretty exciting. And then also Sword and Science specific. We've kind of talked about it, but it ties into, you know, the return to the MMO Graveyard series like we did with MapleStory, RuneScape. So I've been playing it, and I'm not talking about like classic, I'm not talking about 2007 scape, like the newest iteration of RuneScape. I've been playing it a little bit, I'm still in the tutorial world, just like crafting because it's fun. And Trung and I are recruiting members of our community to play with us. And so far we've got two other people who want to join in. So if you're interested in playing RuneScape with us, we'll all pick a server where our pings aren't atrocious because we have some international fans that want to play. But if you're interested and you want to be part of it, we're playing RuneScape just long enough to do an episode, deep dive on it versus how it was when we, you know, the experience was versus then, just like we did with MapleStory. So yeah, if you're interested, join the Discord and hit us up with your username, etc., and we'll get things rolling. That's going to start probably in a week or two. But yeah, that's it for the news segment of our show. Let's roll into, you know, the topic. Let's roll into games we've beaten recently, because there's been some time, you know, between moving, things stalled, but now that we're both essentially seated, Trung, I know you have a short answer. What games have you been recently?
None, because I'm really bad at actually finishing games that have come out in the most recent like year or so. I haven't really finished any games.
All right, you know, good episode. Thanks for coming out.
Hell yeah!
Remember to go to the website. Remember to go into the Discord. dude, you're not alone. I think that's like the thing. It's like when you get older, it's like those, you know, I look at it as like, you know, being an avid book reader, there's that path where it's like you will finish a book no matter how bad it is, just so you've finished it and you don't miss out on anything if it redeems itself or not. And then as you get older, your time gets more used and less free. You're like, I'm going to give this shit like three chapters and I'm out. And I think that applies to gaming too. It's like you see some people defending certain, you see it a lot in JRPGs and RPGs. Like, dude, the first 7 hours, man, you know, cause JRPGs are notorious for being like fucking like 80 hours. Right.
Yeah.
So, which I mean, good bang for your buck, but dude, just give it the first, like, you know, I see that in Tales of Vesperia, like give it the first 6 hours or so and it's going to get better. And it's like, why am I doing that? So I think it applies to a lot of things. As you get older, your time gets, you know, less years. But I, luckily for this episode, I have beaten a game recently, and instead of doing a whole episode on it, I think it'd be better just to do it here. I finally beat Fire Emblem Three Houses. And when I say beat, I mean, I only beat one freaking story, because, you know, lo and behold, I was naive, because I'm used to playing Fire Emblem games where it's just like that one story and you're done, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I beat Blue Lions, and then I didn't get half of the lore. I didn't get half of the backstory of what was actually happening, you know, behind the scenes in the game with the cult and all that stuff. But yeah, what, like 3 years later, it's been out for 3 years, I think. Two, I don't know, but I finally beat it. Okay, yeah, I finally beat it. And what do I have to say for it? I will say the graphics were pretty standard for an anime like game. I enjoyed it. I hated the environment graphics, though. I mean, it is a Switch, but still, like, you have Zelda, and the game looks like it's running on like an Xbox X, right? But and mainly that's like the bloom, but still, it looks fucking beautiful. And then Fire Emblem, like, the environment looked like shit. And then sometimes I hate with like characters where they don't, like, the body all moves at this, like, doesn't move at the same time. Like, it's like disconjointed. It's like moving a mannequin or something, or like a robot, where like the torso moves and then the head moves. There's a lot of that in cutscenes. That shit, I was so noticeable for me throughout the whole game, but I'm being petty right now, but still. I really liked the classes. It was kind of, the 3D graphics were great. I mean, you saw them in the handheld, you know, Fire Emblem games, but I think some of the class armors were a little weird, like, especially the knight. I was like, why is the armor so giant? I mean, it looks cooler in 2D 8-bit and like the original Fire Emblem games, but like 3D, it looked like you're a Gundam. Like, I felt like everyone was a Gundam and if they were a tank. But yeah, I like the classes. It is kind of weird how, like, your playable character, the protagonist, is kind of like, would you say, Trung, they're like pigeonholed into being a swordsman?
Well, pretty much, since that's what your like specialization is into, the sword, and your legendary weapon is a sword too. So
yeah, so like, I mean, you could do like secondary stuff, but I feel like you're not gonna be your strongest if you don't be like a sword class. And then you get like a class created for you anyway. Like, I won't spoil it, because I mean, there's probably people out there like me who haven't played it yet, but you're going to be like forced into another class later on. But I do like the dialogue and the cast of characters. It's like very typical JRPGs, like the dialogue heavy. There's a lot of unique dialogue in this game between characters. Depending how you know, I was like so down for it, but near the end I was like, holy shit, skip. But there's a lot of unique dialogue between the whole cast of characters when you know, start the bonding process, you know, through battles and stuff, and like eating and the activities in the hub, which I thought was cool. I think this is the first Fire Emblem game that had a hub like that, you know, using the school
as like the host of a free mode kind of thing.
Yeah, like you could go and, you know, do mini games, you know, herbs and stuff, like grow herbs and accept mini quests that were bound or binded to the map.
And you would see your party members out and about.
Yeah, you see your students, your party members. You see everyone from the two other classes, classes out of the three, or I guess houses, I should say, excuse me. You get to talk to the other teachers, you know, you can you work on recruiting other people to your house, and it was cool. Again, the environment was kind of like lackluster, but it was cool to have all those activities, because honestly, like, I want to say like 40 to 50% of the game is spent there, even like the later half. But I won't say what the later half is, because again, it's like, oh, you give it away. But yeah, I like that. Even though I'm kind of like pissed at, like, I couldn't get the full story out of what I played, it is really cool how essentially you buy once, but you're getting three games out of it. Like, the battles will be repetitive, because the battles are going to stay the same. But you know, you get three unique stories. Like Blue Lions, the story was awesome. You know, centered around the house lead, Dimitri, you know, ended up being a really cool character, and his best friends from childhood, etc. You know, you get to see them all grow together through chaos, if you will. And then the other two houses are going to be completely different stories. And so I don't want to play all three at once. Like, I'm not about that, but I am excited to go, you know, like, you know, beat a game and then loop back and play a different house.
I was like, I know the other houses paint the red house as a really bad person, but if you play as the reds, you can see why the other houses are actually like kind of messed up from their point of view.
Yeah, I want to play the yellow house, like what, the deer house or whatever. Because apparently everyone on Reddit and online says, like game FAQs and stuff, they say that house tells you about the cult. Because like in Blue Lions, you see them in one battle near the end, and they're wizards, and they're like, your party's like, who are these guys in black? And then you kill them, and they disappear, and you're not told anything. Like, it's just swept under the rug. But that house apparently gives you a lot of lore, backstory, and the cultists. Like, it explains the cultists and what they're doing. And then also, I want to play the red house because, one, they're, you know, something happens later on where, like Trung was saying, like they're viewed as the enemy, like de facto enemy. But it's always interesting to see their perspective. Like, why are they doing a certain something against the other houses? So, because you're not really, like, you get like tidbits like corruption, you know, but there's got to be more than that because that's fucking bullshit. But
I mean, that's, yeah, I do like there's. Because history is written by the winners, not the losers.
Exactly. And with people with cool colored hair. But yeah, it's cool that you get three games in one. And like I said earlier, combat was fun at first, but then it was super repetitive. I was playing on normal, and I still became OP.
It's really easy, to be honest.
Yeah, especially if you just focus on like two characters and you just kind of like, I had like a whole support system, but I would send my guy and then Dimitri out and we would kill everything. Like, it was just fucking slaughter fest.
Yeah, the main character is pretty OP. He just kills everything on his own anyway. It's like, okay, well, what's the point of having everybody else?
He dodges everything and fucking kills everything. But yeah, like I was stupid because I played original mode. So, you know, if someone died, I would revert or use the stupid, like, you know, time reversal. And like, even though I was winning or I was like one kill away from winning, I'd be like, I don't want to lose anyone. I should just turn that mode off. I should turn hardcore off, or excuse me. I think it's called original. Cause I mean, that's how the game was originally played, but yeah, now I know next time it's like easy mode and then not non-original. So I can just blast through the story and like get through the shit. Cause there's not even really a plus mode. So it's like, you have to redo. You have to be that mercenary with your father, and you have to fucking be reintroduced to this, like the school and then the class again. And it's like, fuck, dude, that's going to be so many hours of
there is kind of a plus mode where it's easier for you to recruit the other students when you play it again.
That's still not good enough, dude. Like, I need to skip things. But, I also did not like the marriage system. I'm so used to Fire Emblem games where like the relationship can like ultimately reach an end while you're still playing and get like that ultimate, you know, move or bonus stat, whatever. I thought it was very weird that they wait till the end of the game, whichever house ending it is, to show that you married. Cause I mean, like I said, I'm just used to it happening while you're playing. So I was like, oh, okay. I guess I'll just take the 10% bonus or whatever that's there for now.
There's a lot of controversy around that too, where for some characters you didn't even marry them. It just became like your best friends. Woo. It's like, that's not what an S rank is supposed to be. You're supposed to go to bed with me.
You're supposed to like kiss me and hold my hand and stuff. Like, and
you're supposed to say that you love me, but they just like, oh, we're best friends now. It's like, yeah.
I will say it was nice though, seeing it in the ending credits. I mean, it's one of those typical things where they tie the story up through the credits, you know, through like artwork and then a little like paragraph. And like I said, like the Blue Lions one was kind of fucked with the main story because it was really heavy on Dimitri and everyone. But then like Lady, you know, Rhea, in the Blue Lion story mode, like she got like fucked up and captured, and you don't even see her. It just says, like, you know, the night Catherine dedicated her life, the remainder of her life, to be Lady Rhea's bodyguard in the countryside or whatever. And it's like, she was such a predominant figure in the game. But from the Blue Lion perspective, she essentially just disappears and then she's alive, but she still isn't even in, she's not even shown in the credits. It's like a silhouette of her, like, coming off a carriage or something. So it's like, what? They just wrote off this, like, the main person of the church for half the game. It's like, okay, next. Yeah. And then a bunch of my favorite characters married each other, and I was like, oh, that's so wholesome. Whatever. Now I'm going to have to replay the game and see them die, you know, because I'll kill them. So it's like, because I'm the player who wanted to keep the characters to, like, their original house with, like, I thought I was being, like, cheeky, and I recruited all the instructors because, like, oh, they're going to be OP, and some were, but mostly they weren't. But, like, I kept the characters true to their house. So every time I replay, I'm just going to play, like, with the stock characters. And so that means I'm going to kill my ex-favorite character. So there's that. And I did do a little Googling of the endings and some light spoilers from Reddit and stuff. So I'm still going to replay, but I've got enough information now where I'm like, oh, that's what was going on this whole time. Not enough to ruin my next experience, but just enough to, like, keep me like satisfied for now. Cause I was still like, I was Googling as soon as the credits were over. I was like, what the there's no way this game ends like this. You know, like, I didn't learn anything.
Right.
It was like a Dimitri redemption arc. And I was like, what the fuck? But yeah, that's Fire Emblem Three Houses in a nutshell. That's what I played. That's what I beat recently. But yeah, Trung, you got any games that you started to play?
Yeah, I recently started playing Monster Hunter Stories 2, and wrote an article about it, and it's still going. It's actually a pretty long game, surprisingly.
Yeah, we've talked about this game in one of our first episodes about, games we're most excited for this year. Because it, you know, luckily it was a game that did not get pushed back or delayed, because that was like a huge thing this year. And two, Trung glossed over, but he did do an awesome blog post about it on the Sword and Slime website. So swordandslimepod.com, go check it out. It's awesome. But yeah, dude, tell us more about it.
I might as well just kind of repeat my article a little bit. It's a turn-based, basically Pokemon using the Monster Hunter world, Monster Hunter monsters as your pets. When you ride them, they're your mounts, but they also fight with you. You have no agency over any of the other characters besides your own, though. And it's basically like a rock, paper, scissors system where you can choose between what type of attack to attack with. So power is red, technical is green, and speed is blue. So red beats green, green beats blue, blue beats red. So it's kind of a rock, paper, scissors game, and also like trying to figure out what type of attacks the monster you're fighting is going to use. So like the big bulky looking monsters are probably going to use power type attacks on you, so you use speed type to beat it. But then once it gets mad, it changes to a different type of attack to try to throw you off, and you have to predict it. So it's kind of interesting. There's a gauge in which every time you win like a rock, paper, scissors thing, you build up a friendship gauge where if you max it out, you get to use like your super move with your monster, and every single one of them is unique to the monster, so it's pretty cool. And then you have these AIs that follow you around based on which region you're in, and they have a super move that they can use alongside with you, so that there's like a duo move that you both use together, which is also pretty cool. So far the game is actually like kind of challenging. Like, there hasn't ever been a point where I can just like one shot any monster. It actually takes quite a considerable amount of time to beat them, which is fine. I guess it's not too bad.
Turning to easy mode, BRB.
Yeah, I kind of hate that because you have no agency over the other characters besides your own, even not even your own monster you can control. They kind of do sometimes do moves that you're like, why did you just do that? You're wasting a turn. and I'm going to get killed now. Thanks. Kind of deal. You're basically, the AIs are kind of dumb where they don't heal themselves, so you have to do it for them. You're basically the glorified support.
Damn, and so you waste your turn on it.
Yeah, so you have to waste your turn to keep them alive. So that kind of sucks, but I mean, it's all right. At least not too bad. At least they're still attacking, right? At least they're doing something.
Yeah, and I saw they like kept the majority of the weapons from Monster Hunter, like the Monster Hunter universe. So it's still very much a Monster Hunter game.
Oh yeah, your gear is from Monster Hunter series. There's also a rock, paper, scissors system with the weapons where, you know, slashing, blunt, and piercing. But there's only two for each type. So there's sword and shield and greatsword for slashing. There's hammer and hunting horn for blunt. And then for piercing, it's bow and gun lance. But I'm a bow main, so I don't use the gun lance at all. And I try to avoid it.
So because of the rock, paper, scissor mechanic, are you allowed to min-max in this game? Like, are you allowed to purely be a bowman?
No.
Or do you see yourself switching? Okay.
So, like, you know, some certain monsters kind of, like, take less damage from specific type of weapons, so you have to switch out. But they let you switch out without losing a turn, so that's good. They also let you switch your monsters, which your monsters tend to prefer a certain type of attack. So they're always, like, either a speed type, a technical type, or a power type. But you can switch your monsters out to the more advantageous type, but without losing a turn. So that system's fine. It's actually really cool to like switch out your gear and your monsters to match the fight. I think that's pretty fun.
But yeah, I bet, dude. I was gonna say it's more than just like how, like, do you look at the game differently than you would at, like, say, a World of Final Fantasy game, where they kind of like try to include players from the universe with like this like cheap knockoff Pokemon battle
or combat? It's definitely very different. It's a unique take on the turn-based thing. I don't hate it. I think it's really creative and fun in its own way. I mean, as long as you're still like okay with the whole turn-based fighting, because I know some people
classic don't like JRPG fighting.
Because I know some people don't like that.
And I mean, it's better than World of Final Fantasy.
Yeah, because the story isn't as cheesy.
Oh god, dude, that I got like, I think I played it on the Vita, and I got, I don't know, I got like 3 hours into it, and I was like, no.
Yeah, the World of Final Fantasy story was very hardcore, catered to children, and you could tell that it was catered to children. Monster Hunter Stories 2, it's like kind of like a mix, like it is kind of like the power of friendship kind of stuff, but it's not like,
yeah,
it doesn't go like too hard into it, so it doesn't feel like cheesy and cringy. But the stories go okay. I mean, I'm not like super invested into it. It's kind of like whatever, but I like the gameplay.
Do you think you'll beat it?
Oh yeah, this is definitely the type of games that I normally beat anyway.
Sick. Is that all you got for it?
That's all I got for that.
That's cool. So Monster Hunter Stories 2 finally came out, and we're actually playing it. It's unreal.
It's a good game.
We're highly recommend. I started... Oh, what were you going to say?
I say I recommend the game.
Hell yeah. I think I'll play it too. I'm waiting for a sale, which is, you know, in the Nintendo Switch world, like 3 years from now. So we'll see. But it's got a PC port, and I guarantee you it's going to have like a Square Enix sale or something. So, or like just they do like, you know, games from Japan sales. Excuse me.
Yeah. It's a Capcom game, right? Come on.
Yeah. Not Square Enix. Duh. Okay. So I'm playing Tales of Vesperia, the PC port through the Xbox Game Pass. Cause again, you know, we all snagged the Xbox deal. You know, classic Tales, man. It's got the PS2 graphics, essentially. The dialogue's heavy and thoughtful, which is exactly what I miss from Tales of Abyss, because that's my favorite Tales game and the one game I played to completion out of the series. So, like, I played a little bit of Vesperia before, but I'm actually farther now than I am back then. So that's cool. you know, I will say the combat's atrocious. Like, I went all through subreddits and shit like that. There's so many fans defending, because there's always a post like, why is the combat so bad? Right. And they're like, watch this video on YouTube about a guy canceling actions so you can like attack, you know, double attack and this and that. And I'm like, why does someone have to like go outside of the game to make it playable? And then they're like, yeah, about like 8 hours into the game, you unlock the full scope of combat. And people actually were admitting, though, they're like, you don't get all the combo, because the combos are kind of like automated. You don't have, you know, access to them in the beginning for a long time. But then it gets really good. And I'm like, dude, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, people are going to drop this game because it's so, like, combat is a large part of it. So what I did, I put it on easy mode because I was getting rickrolled on the first boss in the game. I just couldn't, win.
Right.
Because, like, the combat's, like, delayed. It's not, like, instant feedback. So, and I was getting stunlocked. I was getting stunlocked by the fucking boss. I was like, okay. Or not stunlocked, but I was getting knocked down and then just repeatedly like kicked, essentially. So
just like life.
Yeah, just like life. The combat is awful. I don't know if it's ever going to get better. I don't know if it's just fanboys sticking up for the game. But so far, everything, what I really like about JRPGs and Tales series is good enough where I can just ignore the combat. Put it on easy mode. Everyone, like, I take like 10 damage. It's like nothing. So it's like, okay, knock out this battle. Let's go back to dialogue. So been playing that. I'm also playing Going Medieval on Epic Games. It's essentially a 3D version of RimWorld. So a survival simulation game. I fucking love those games. You could probably tell because I talk about a lot about like strategy RPGs and survival simulation games or like colony management games. You know, they're at its core, it's strategy. So I can just like turn my brain off. And I know friend of the show, Tyler, he's the same way. He's got a hard on for games like RimWorld like me. So that's cool. I'm also playing Foundation on Steam. Foundation is another like city management game, but it's a medieval, like medievalish times, and there's not really combat. You can like it's like, it's more like Settlers, like Settlers 7, where production lines are key. You can create soldiers, but there's no actual factions to fight. There's like representatives of different factions that call for your soldiers. Like, you're like essentially a mercenary force, and you send your soldiers and they come back with like resources and stuff, or like points to use towards your tech tree and stuff. But it's mainly production lines, like make a farm, a wheat farm, so that you can make a windmill, and then you can create bread through a bakery and stuff like that. So create the flour to create the bread, etc. Very easy going. I love the graphics. And then, like I mentioned earlier, playing RuneScape to prep for our graveyard, our MMO graveyard series. I know, Trung, you haven't really touched it yet, so it's going to be fun when we finally meet up.
Let's go to plan the time.
Yeah, we just got to plan the time. We are so busy, so busy. And then also, literally, like 2 days ago, I finished all of my LCS games because I watch League of Legends Championship Series. And I finished them all. I caught up and I was like, well, I have .hack downloaded on my PS4. I have .hack GU. I've been calling it a trilogy this whole time, but like Trung said, there's a fourth game attached to the trilogy if you buy the pack. So I was like, holy shit. I text Trung. I was like, there's four games here, Trung. There's four games. It was so funny. I was like, I'm a lot. I've ruined my own canon. So playing .hack GU, and I just got data drained by TriEdge, and Ovan disappeared and leaves you that cryptic message like, are you going to give up or are you going to come back to the world? And yeah, it brought me right back to high school, Trung, like in the laundromat and shit. I'm like, oh god, we're playing .hack again. But yeah, those are games I'm playing right now. And then we both have games in limbo. I thought this would be fun to bring in. And we agreed to this offline, but Biomutant, we've both kind of like stopped pre-move. Like we were playing it up into both of us moving. Yeah. And then, yeah, it's still downloaded. I'm like 4 hours in. I need to play more.
Yeah, we kind of stopped because of the move and kind of scared to open it up again because now we don't remember anything.
Dude, honestly, I might hate it, but I think I want to re-roll. Like, I like the Bounty Hunter, but I think range combat, because I think melee combat is so clunky, especially in the beginning and all the combos and stuff.
Yeah.
I think I might want to take it easy and go like that mage route and just fucking range. Like, not even gun, but just like magic and just fucking chill.
I'm doing like a hybrid build of range and melee.
Yeah, I think if we reroll, we should like plan it together and just be like, okay, let's see what happens and then talk about it.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm playing Bounty Hunter, besides like the cool samurai hat and the katanas, like the dual katana, I'm like, dude, I kind of want to just want to be range and just like not try as hard.
Right.
So yeah, that keep a lookout. We're going to have an episode on rerolling a Biomutant, but yeah, that's a game we definitely have to revisit. And then also just want to mention my Xbox Game Pass Ultimate deal is like running out. I have until like August 16th. So like I'm trying to beat a way out with Ben and then download the Master Chief Collection so we can all like play a Halo game. Cause I know like you haven't really played it, Trung, and I think it'd be interesting if we could all play at least like the first game and see how far we get before fucking Game Pass expires.
So I've never touched the Halo series because I never owned an Xbox growing up.
I know. Now here's our chance, dude. Master Chief Collection has it all, you know, revamped. So pretty cool. But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. The clock's ticking and I knew it. We talked about this like 3 months is a long time, but
it's foreshadowing.
Like, dude, I still haven't even started Dragon Quest. I'm like, fuck.
Well, that game is super long. Good luck.
I know. I might just re-up again, or I might cancel and then re-up when like a big game is released, just so I don't have to like buy it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then just like use that month to play everything again. But yeah, that's it, man. That's games we played, games we've beaten, and games in limbo or crushed in the backlog like usual. Nothing new to us.
Right. It's all the same.
Yeah, all the same. Yeah, but yeah, that's it. Any last parting words, Trung, before I get on the plug-in?
Shamelessly plug. This Pokemon Unite Ken is an RPG. That's what I'm playing, like a lot of.
What the heck is that, dude?
It's a Pokemon MOBA, so League of Legends, but with Pokemon characters.
Oh, that game again? Didn't you bring that up last time?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can talk about it. I'm not going to stop you.
It's out now. I mean, it's not much really to talk about other than it's a Tencent game, which is Chinese, which is money grubbing as shit.
Which is fucking pay to win.
Yeah.
Aesthetics.
Yeah, so gameplay is fun. There is pay to win stuff in there. And pay to unlock or pay to convenience, whatever. But if you just play with your friends casually, it's a really fun game. Surprisingly, playing on like a controller, a mobile controller, isn't as bad as I thought it would be.
Is it on everything? Like, is it PC, console, and mobile?
No, just Switch and later on mobile.
Okay, I'll check it out then. I don't even have Nintendo Online, but I'll check it out.
You do not need Nintendo Online to play it, which is the cool part.
Oh, nice. Nice. Okay, I'll check it out. Sick. Yeah, that's it. Thanks for listening like usual. Thanks to everyone who's here for the live recording. It was another last minute. Man, we're getting bad at this, dude. Usually we have like a day, but
we need to schedule like a day.
Yeah, we need to schedule. We had another last minute recording. Thanks for Ace for showing up, and thanks to my wife for showing up as usual. Number one fan right there. I'd like to remind everyone, leave a review through the website. It's freaking, it helps us out and it's fun to read and we'll shout you out in the episode. Just go to the review tab, type something up that's hilarious, and we thank you very much. You can also support the podcast through Anchor. We have Anchor support linked, as low as a dollar goes a long way. And also right now, I got some stickers in the inventory. So if you choose to support the podcast, you're getting a sticker. Even if it's just a dollar, you're getting a sticker. And of course, you'll just have to link up with me either through the website or through Discord. But yeah, follow us on Twitter, where we post and retweet all of our friends. Join our Discord server so you can listen to us live. And also, we have some cool text channels set up, like gaming news and gaming sales that we monitor, and also discussions. And we stream every once in a while, either here or in our partner, not partner, but like our other community, CouchCat Gaming. Yeah. And again, check out the website for all centralized information, for all the links, for all of our episodes, for our blog posts. And I'll be posting a blog about the stickers so you can see them firsthand and how cool they look on a water bottle.
So cool.
Yeah, so freaking cool, dude. Dude, I've all my friends that have come over so far to see the house, I'm like, do you want a sticker? And they're like, oh yeah, sure, dude. I'm like, just take them.
Spread the word.
Put them on every like in every brewery bathroom you can. but yeah, awesome. Till next time. Peace, everyone.
Later, everybody.